Good morning. Are you ready to praise the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. Let's stand and sing a song.
Glad we served the Lion and the Lamb this morning. Amen. He fights our battles. What an awesome God we serve that's not only powerful enough to take care of everything, but he's also gentle as a lamb. And he knows our heart. He knows our concerns. And even in a time where we don't know what's going on in our world sometimes, amen, it's just wild to watch the news and discouraging at times. But we serve a God that's bigger than any disease, bigger than any confusion, any chaos, and we serve the Lion and the Lamb. Let's just welcome this morning. Let's pray together, and I'm excited about what God has for us this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the Lion and you are the Lamb, God. Lord, that you know our hearts, you know our concerns, you know our needs, Father. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would meet every single person here this morning, God. We would feel your presence, God. We would know that you are here with us, and God, we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, just pour out your spirit this morning as we lift up your holy name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are going to do something that we have not done in a long time. We are actually officially going to have a greeting. You can shake hands if you'd like. If you are uncomfortable with that, you can give it a little air bump and even maybe an air hug. But right now we're going to greet one another, and then we'll get right into things. Lord bless you.
We would just like to share some words of wisdom with the graduating class. It seems that a chapter in your life is closing, and now a new one opens.
And over the years, there have been so many great graduation speeches. We'd like to just condense those down for you and give you just the great nuggets. These nuggets may have the power to change your life.
Yep, the world may call them cliches. We like to call them words that transcend the human ellipse of time.
No, I just think we'll stick to nuggets of life. I think that's really good.
Mine is so much better. Wait, let's call them life nuggets.
That's basically what I just said.
It's really not. The first one is this. Eat your vegetables. Seems like your mother was right.
Yeah, you'll feel better, you'll go to the restroom more, and that beta carotene may just save your life. Here's another one. When it comes to praise or criticism from other people, treat it like chewing gum. Chew it, see if there's any truth in there, but don't swallow the gum of praise or criticism.
That's true. Scientists have proven that swallowed criticism or praise will stay in your digestive tract for 7 years.
Here's another one. Wherever you go, there you are.
No, that is just like a cliche that your uncle says at a family reunion.
Okay. What about this? Live, love, and laugh.
Yeah, I saw that one coming a mile away. That is cliche as don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do.
Okay. All right. Here's one. When it comes to your future, don't sit there and worry about it. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It'll let you do something for a little bit, but it'll get you nowhere.
Yes, but if that is true, Cracker Barrel's been promoting worry for years. Here's one for you. Dance the Paso Doble, even if by yourself.
I think they call that the Paso Single.
Oh, good to know.
Here's something. When people ask you, so what do you want to be when you grow up? Don't fret if you don't know the answer. There's a lot of 30-year-olds that don't have the answer to that yet.
But don't be that 30-year-old that is still sleeping on their parents' couch.
That is so true. You know what? Go ahead and take out a pen and paper right now and write your parents an IOU.
Yeah, I owe you a couch, preferably one without Cheeto stains.
When you fast forward the tape 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed with the things that you didn't do than the things that you did. So take some chances.
Maybe you could make this your life prayer. God, help my character catch up with your blessings.
And realize nothing in your life has taken God by surprise. It says it in His Word, Proverbs 16, verse 9, that man may make his plans, but God will direct the path.
And listen, God has given you everything you need to be the person He created you to be. So what are you waiting for? Get out there and be who He created you to be.
So go. Go in blessings. Go out there with your life. And go in peace. Realize who you belong to and take His story and make history.
And if you don't remember anything else that we told you, please heed this. Eat your vegetables. It's really good for you.
The wisdom there. We will be celebrating our seniors here in a little bit. I believe we've got five, if I'm not mistaken. So just a little taste of what's to come here. But we are proud of our graduates, and we are glad that you are here with us this morning to worship our King and Savior. Amen? Amen. And if this is your first time, maybe you haven't been here, maybe you haven't been here in a while, we'd like to encourage you, if you would take the time, grab a card there in front of you, you can fill that out, and let us know you're here, let us know where you're living at this point, and it's a little bit of extra information. We're not going to bug you too much, but let's just give our guests a hand this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I'm excited to announce that we have been experiencing some awesome church growth lately. That's good, right? Amen, amen. And we have a few extra guests this morning that I believe this is their first time officially here. I believe we have Amelia and Olivia Terrell. Why don't you guys stand up? You got to show them off. All right. Amen. Beautiful twin girls from our children's pastors. All right. Amen. I kind of put them on the spot there. We are glad that they're here and glad that everybody's healthy and happy. And Chad's, you know, a little more tired than normal, I believe. But, you know, if he falls asleep later, we won't, you know. Yes. All right. Not sure where to go after that. But if you were not aware, yesterday we got an awesome opportunity to reach out to our community, and actually many of you know because I was able to be a part of that as well, and we had, I don't even know how many volunteers, but we had probably 20 or 30 volunteers that helped pass out, believe it or not, over 6,000 pounds of food. Drove through. We were a well-oiled machine. We had people packing produce and people hauling milk, and we called them our milkmaids because we had a few ladies helping with that. But it was an awesome time to be able to just reach out. And be honest with you, the coolest part was as they came through, you could tell the people that were appreciative, and then you could really tell there were some people that just really needed it. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity to be the Lord's hands and feet. Amen. Just as Pastor Stephen preached a few weeks ago about being the gloves. We were able to be the gloves and help God out to reach this community. And I want to say thank you to all the volunteers. Thank you for those that have been praying for that. And along with that, the church here has been a beacon for the community for many years, but we've had opportunities. We actually hosted, what do you call it? The Rose Rock Pageant. I went blank. I knew it wasn't just a beauty pageant, but the Rose Rock Pageant, they were unable to be in the schools because of everything going on. So we were able to open the doors last night and I believe the last two nights. And so we had over 300 people here last night partaking in that. So just it's good to be here and be here for the community. Amen. Along with that, here in a couple of weeks, we are going to be doing our Easter outreach. I know many of you are saying Easter was a few months ago. Yes, it was, but we were unable to do our egg hunt that we do. There are actually, I think, 12 bicycles hanging out, I believe, still in the kitchen. They were the last time I saw them. So we were able to hand out flyers to everybody that got food yesterday. We were able to have flyers here for everybody that came in to be a part of the pageant. So we want to encourage you, if you can volunteer for that, there's a sign up out there. Let us know that you're available. It's a tremendous outreach that we're able to partake in. And there are flyers still out there. So if you've got neighbors that you like to hand them out to, or just as a reminder for yourself to pray about it, even if you can't volunteer, we encourage you to pray and just pray that it's another opportunity for us to present the gospel. Not only do they get a chance to win a bike, get lots of candy, but the gospel message will be preached and have an opportunity for those that don't know Jesus to come to know him. And that's what it's all about, right? Amen. I want to make sure that I'm not missing anything here this morning. If you have noticed, Pastor Steve and Carol are away today. We want to pray for them, and they were getting to go visit Cammy and Jared and a new little one. Not yet, not here yet, but hopefully going to be here this week and have an opportunity for them to just get some time away. I'm rambling on, so I'm going to ask our ushers to come here in a moment, ask our worship team to come up. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. As our ushers come, we just want to encourage you, there's no special today. So as the bag passes, just go ahead and stand. We're going to continue to sing and to praise our Savior. Amen. I believe we've got them all here, so let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you for all of your many blessings. God, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to be your gloves, God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the offering this morning so we can continue to do that for our community. We can continue to share the good news that you have given us, Lord. God, we ask you to bless the giver, and we just worship you and give you the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This song, I didn't think about the fact that we were doing the food drive yesterday, and it just goes so well. Take all I have in my hands and multiply, God, all that I am. And everything that we did yesterday, I pray that God multiplies it and that the community is touched and changed by what we did yesterday. And I know Pastor Steve and Carol and Pastor Phil and I thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for being the hands and feet of Jesus yesterday. You changed people's lives. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. magnify your name this morning, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, God, that your word does not return void, Lord Jesus. That everything we do, God, in your name, God, brings glory to you, Jesus. We praise you, God. God, praise you, Jesus. worship you, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you, God.
This church in a place where it can't be deceived, that it can, that it
it will be deceived by the enemy, but it's going to leave it in a place of strength and a place of glory, and people are going to run to the church and people are going to run to God, because that is the only answer that we have in this place. That is the only answer that is going to take care of any of the racism, any of the hatred that people have in our hearts. God's love is the only answer that can fix it and that will change it. Are you glad that you have that love this morning? I'm so glad that even when I don't see it, even when I can't feel Him working, that He is behind the scenes and He is moving on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God, that you're the way maker. I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I pray, God, that this body of believers, Lord Jesus, that your love would just flow out of us, God, that people would see the love, Lord Jesus. God, even in the midst of the fighting and the bickering that's going on in this country, Lord, I pray that your church would rise up and be your love, God. Thank you, Jesus. You are the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're a promise-keeping God, and we praise you, God. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You believe He's the way maker? Believe He's the promise keeper? Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. 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 Come on. Come on. As we were singing that, put that up there again. Even if I don't see you, even if I don't see you working, you're still working. Even if I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You ever been there? You ever been where you didn't see it? You ever been where you didn't feel it? Come on now. Man, as we were singing that, tears began to stream in my face because I thought to myself, you know what? In my flesh, and I'm sure you're guilty of this too, in my flesh, I always want to make it happen on my own. But that's not what the Lord asks of us. He says, be obedient, right? He said, be obedient. And I will work. I will work. All right? We're the glove, but He's the hand. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God's hand is moving not only in this place, but in our community, in our lives. And that should be a daily prayer that you have. Lord, even when I don't see you, I know you're working. Even when I don't feel you, I know you're working. Because it's not all about feelings. It's not all about sight. All right? What does it say? Not by sight, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So this morning, as I lift up the needs, even if we don't see it in the moment, even if we're not feeling it in the moment, I believe the Lord's still working. I want to pray for many of our shut-ins that we have, that the Lord would touch them. April McDonald texted me this morning and asked that we'd pray for Michaela. She's having trouble breathing. I want to pray. We have several families right now that need the power of reconciliation in the midst of their family. And how many of you know that God can put together what the enemy has torn apart? So I believe in that. I want to continue to pray for our outreach, the things that we do, whether it be giving out food, whether it be hosting community activities, whether it be the Easter egg hunt that we're going to do in a couple of weeks. No matter what the Lord gives us to do, it doesn't matter how much work we put in it if He's not there. And so we want to pray that the Lord's presence would move through our outreaches. We want to pray for our military, and we want to pray for our police. We want to pray for our emergency personnel. We want to pray for every citizen in the United States, that they would begin to feel the forgiveness and the love and the power that comes from Jesus. We can march, we can make signs, we can do all that. I'm not saying that's bad, but what I'm telling you is this: but when Jesus gets a hold of a situation, he can do in a moment what man couldn't do in 100 years. Are you with me today? I want to pray. I'm good, glad to see Nelda here today, but I had you on here, Nelda. I want to pray the Lord continue to touch Nelda's body today. I got a couple of personal prayer requests. I got a friend of mine. It was a lady that was in the church in Chandler where our youth pastor, her name was Patty Turner. Patty passed away this week. Sweet, sweet, dear saint, friend of mine. And I want to pray for her family today as she went to go home with the Lord this week. And then I'm one of my best friends, David Wheeler. His mom is in a rehab hospital trying to get better and better. Been in the hospital, and they were trying to rehabilitate her to get her to go home. And she had a stroke yesterday, and they believe she had another stroke this morning. And so I want you to agree with me today that the Lord would reach down in that hospital room and that there would be no detrimental results from this stroke. That she is going to continue on her healing process to the testimony and to the glory of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Do you have a need this morning? Would you just raise your hand? Amen. The Lord knows your need. Spoken or unspoken, he can meet it just the same. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you that you meet us in this place, that even when we don't see you, you're still working. Even when we don't feel it in our emotions, you're still working. Lord, that our feelings and our sight will not dictate our faith. And so, Lord, we pray for every need. We pray for those who have raised their hands and they've got a need today. We pray for our shut-ins. We pray for Michaela, who's having trouble breathing. We pray for several families who need reconciliation. We pray for our outreaches, Lord, that they would see you and they would experience you. We pray for our military, emergency personnel, our police. We pray for every citizen of the United States. We pray for unity in our country. Lord, we pray for Nelda today. We pray for others who have been struggling with sickness and illness. We pray today for Patty Turner's family. Lord, would you give them peace and comfort today? And I pray for my friend David's mom today. I pray that you would reach down in that room and you would just give her a supernatural healing today. We pray it would not be to the glory of doctors or medicine, but to the great physician. Lord, we pray that all the honor and the glory goes to you. And Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Now, Lord, thank you, worship team. You are awesome, awesome, awesome. Even you in there, David, who's in the cage. We leave him in a box. And that's on purpose. So, he got out of there. Security, keep an eye on him. Love you, David. Amen. Well, this is a great Sunday. This is going to be we've already had a wonderful time. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody would, if we walked out right this second, nobody would be shortchanged. We're not going to, but if we walked out this second, we still received from the Lord already today, and we are going to proceed at this time to our graduate ceremony. Before we begin the video, I just want to say this is a really kind of bittersweet time of the year always, because in one part of it, you're congratulating these students for taking the next step of accomplishment in their life. And then another, I'm sure many of you have found yourself in this place going, what, they're graduating? How is that possible? Allie cheated. She accelerated a year. I told her I was supposed to have one more year with her, and she accelerated on me. And so I still love you, Allie, but it's a little bittersweet. Some of you graduating, my goodness. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and begin the graduate ceremony. And so here we go. Our first graduate is Kirsten Drever. You can give her a hand. Amen.
Kirsten, you came into this world at your own pace, 100 miles an hour, couldn't wait for anyone, not even the doctor. But that's just the way you live your life. You haven't slowed down yet, and I don't think you probably will in the future. But that's what makes you you, and I love that.
Kirsten Nicole Drever, born December 23rd, 2001. Really close to Christmas. I need to separate that. Don't be cheating on the presents. Her parents are Thad and Lisa Drever, and she's been attending Noble Assembly of God for 5 years and has graduated, or actually already graduated, from Noble High School. Her list of school and community activities include Honor Society, Ursa Day, Varsity Cheer, Band, and Student Council. Her list of honors and awards include Valedictorian, Superintendent's Honor Roll, Trumpet Section Leader. Her favorite hobby is hanging out with family and friends. Her favorite Christian song is Oceans, which we're hearing right now, by Hillsong United. And her favorite Christian group is Mercy Me. Her immediate plans after graduation is to attend Southwestern Oklahoma State University, where she will major in elementary education. Her favorite scripture verse is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, which says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight."
Kirsten, I hope as you go through life, you stay true to your path, and if you're ever in need, you know I'm your ride or die to get you through the trouble.
Kirsten, it's hard to say what would be my advice to you. You've shown a level of maturity that I had no idea that you had obtained at this point in your life, and I greatly appreciate that. My advice is to continue with the same drive and determination that you have to this point. Life holds so much for you, and I know you're going to achieve all of your dreams if you just continue the way you have lived your life up to this point. Follow God, keep Him dear to your heart, and remember we're always here for you. I love you, baby.
Kirsten Drever. Our next graduate is Carson Hallett.
Carson, the day I found out that I was pregnant with you, that night we went to Pastor Steve's 40th birthday party, and we told all our friends, and everybody couldn't believe it, that we were going to have another baby. The pregnancy went on. We were trying to figure out a name for you. Dad wanted to name you Good Lookin', and then your name would be Good Lookin' Howlett. But we chose Carson Bryce. We thought it sounded kind of cool, kind of different.
Carson, before you were born, I thought my life was full because I had Matthew and Michael, and then Mom and I were together. The day you were born, I realized there's a part of me missing, and you fulfilled that part.
Carson Bryce Hallett was born March 20th, 2002. His parents are Jim and Pam Hallett, and he's attended Noble Assembly of God for 18 years. We tried to get rid of him, but he keeps coming back. No, that's not true. He graduated from Noble High School. His list of school and community activities include football. He was mean out there. Choir, FCA, FCCLA, Student Council, Class Officer, Rose Rock Pageant, where he got named last night Mr. Rose Rock, and Theater. His list of honors and awards include Honor Choir, Division 5A, 1 Division District Football Champ, Junior Student of the Year, and most likely to be in a musical. His favorite hobbies are video games, playing the piano, singing, hanging out with family and friends. His favorite Christian song is "How Great They Are," "How Great Thou Art," and "No Longer a Slave to Fear." And his favorite Christian group is Hillsong. His immediate plans after graduation is he's going to work at Atwoods and attend OCCC in the fall. His major is sonography. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
And his favorite scripture verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, which is the verse that I write in every Bible for the graduates. Anything special you'd like to add? He said, I'd like to thank Pastor Phil for all the words of wisdom he's given me. And I'd also like to thank my parents for all their support.
Carson, you have brought so much joy to Mom and Dad. We are so proud of you. You are a leader. You are a good friend. You are kind. You're sweet. You're tender-hearted. And you love the Lord. I know that God has great things for you. I know that you are not sure where your journey is going to go, but I know that God does have a plan for your life. And we love you so much, more than words could ever describe.
From the day one, you have been my heart and my best friend. I thank the Lord every day that we had you. And my life would not be the same if you weren't a part of it. And I thank God on that day that you were born, to this day and for day, for the rest of your life, that you are a part of my life. And you will always be. I love you so much.
Carson Hallett. Our next graduate is Karsten Hutchinson.
Karsten, I remember the day you were born. I remember the day you were conceived. And you were God's gift to us. The day we got ready to leave the hospital, your sister was already in the back seat of the car, and the nurse was putting the car seat in the back seat of the car, making sure it was fastened because she wanted him to be safe. And she asked Rosalind if that was her Bubba. And of course, that name has stuck for 19 years. You'll always be her Bubba.
Karsten, when you were born, I was like so excited because you were my son. We had a daughter already, and I was wanting a son so bad. And then you came along, and you got to fulfill that role as being the one to carry on my name.
Karsten Mitchell Hutchinson was born June 1st, 2001. His parents are Rodney and Sandra Hutchinson, who are also the pastors of Ignite Church, which is our church plant that we parent. And he's been attending Noble Assembly of God since 2015. And he graduated from Lindsay High School. Go Leopards. Sorry. Go Leopards. And his list of school and community activities include football, track and field, academic team, FCA, and National Honor Society. And his list of honors and awards, we couldn't list them all here, so we just put a few. Class Valedictorian, National Honor Society Treasurer, Sophomore of the Year, Oklahoma Boy State Delegate, and along with a bunch of other things. I have no idea what all those stand for, but there's a bunch of them, a bunch of those courts. You know, you have to earn each of these courts, people. And there's a bunch of them. His favorite hobbies are fishing, music, sports, and following politics. Oh, he will talk politics with you. His favorite Christian song is Refiner, and his favorite Christian group is Maverick City Music. His immediate plans after graduation is to go to college and pursue a degree in
actuarial science.
Actuarial science. How many of you guys know what that is? All right. There you go. His favorite scripture verse is Psalms 1:3, which says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers.
Karsten, doesn't seem like it's been 19 years. We know you have a lot of life to live. And you have a lot to give and a lot to share. And we're so proud of the example you set for your friends and your witness on the school campus and to those around you. although you're going off to college and starting a new season in your life, you'll always have a place in our hearts and in our home. And God loves you even more, and He will always be there for you. We love you, Karsten.
Karsten, you've become someone that we're so proud of, someone that we have so much faith in, that you're going to succeed in life. You're going to be so successful in whatever you do. And we love you, and we just cherish who you are to us, and we desire good things for you and all that you do. And we just pray that you would allow God to lead and direct and guide your life, and that He would become your guide in all that you do, that you would follow Him and love Him and serve Him throughout your life. And I know good things are ahead for you, and we look forward to see what God has in store for you. We love you very much, and we're praying for you.
Carson Hutchison. Our next graduate is Allie Pitts.
Allie, I'm so thankful that God placed you in my life. When you were small, you were so shy and always hid behind your sisters. It's such a blessing to see you grow and become such an independent and beautiful young woman. Allie, they say the last one is always the hardest. It's true. But seeing you grow and mature these last few years has made me so proud of you, and I love you.
Allison Marie Pitts was born September 6, 2002, and her mom is Rindy Pitts. She has been attending Noble Assembly of God for 9 years, and she graduated from Epic Charter School. Her list of school and community activities is she's been on numerous missions trips with our youth group to, I don't even know all the places we've been. Mission Arlington, she go to Atlanta and to L.A., and so she's been to multiple with us. Her list of honors and achievements includes she's accomplished her junior and senior year in 1 year to graduate early so she can continue to move forward. That's pretty good, 2 years in one. Her hobbies, she likes to paint and to work outside. Her favorite Christian song is 70 by 7, or 7 by 70, thank you, Chris August. I'm going to get it right in a minute. And her favorite Christian group is Hillsong. I love Hillsong, too. Her immediate plans after graduation is to continue to work at Dr. Kish's office, which is an optometrist in the Sooner Fashion Mall. And her favorite scripture verse is Jeremiah 29:11. We're very familiar with that. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." She said she'd also like to add that she'd like to thank her family for all the support to get me to where I am now.
Allie, if there's anything that I could tell you, it would be to always trust God. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Stay in His word and pray every day. He's the one who will always be there no matter what." Allie, I'm so excited to see the future that God has for you. Just trust Him. And I love you more.
Allie Pitts. Our last graduate is Benjamin Smith.
Benjamin, when we were waiting to adopt you, there were all kinds of new rules in Korea, so our social worker in Tulsa had to get 2 or 3 special waivers for you to come home. So there for a while, we weren't really sure that we'd even be able to get you, but we did, and here you are, and it's been a whirlwind ever since.
Benjamin, when you finally got to the airport with your mom and your sister bringing you home, they handed you to me, and we had to go up some stairs. I thought you were going to get up the stairs faster than me, and you were climbing on me. It was a fun experience, and it hasn't stopped since.
Benjamin Lee Smith was born August 15, 2001. His parents are David and Felicia Smith. And he has been attending Noble Assembly of God for 16 years. That's a long time, Benjamin. He is graduating from homeschool.
His list of school and community activities is karate, don't hurt me, and Royal Rangers. His list of honors and awards include a gold medal of achievement through Royal Rangers, the Trail of the Saber, which is another thing through the Ranger program, survival camp, backpacking camp, shooting sports camp, and he is an orange belt, people, in karate. His favorite hobbies is playing Xbox, playing basketball, and football. His favorite Christian song is I Still Believe, and his favorite Christian group is Hillsong. His immediate plans after graduation is to relax and to enjoy the missions trip to Denver that we're going to go on as a youth group. His favorite scripture verse is John 3:16, which is what I'm preaching my message on today. And that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Benjamin, we, Mom and Dad, pray for you that you'll continue to go to church and continue to seek God's will in all that you do. Not sure what your goal for life is, but I know that you'll stay true to what you've been taught, and we love you very much.
Benjamin, as a young boy, you were such the ladies' man. Growing up, all the girls loved you for your smile and your giggle, and that was such an experience to watch you growing up with around the church. I look forward to the next few years to see what you're going to become as a young Christian man. I love you very much.
Benjamin Smith. No, go this way, go this way. All right. Elliot, do you have your phone? I forgot to end. Will you take a picture of us? Let's move right over here, right here. Just stand right there, stand right there, stand right there. Miss Kelly, you go to one side. We'll go the other. We're going to all look pretty. Let's give them one more hand. Awesome. You can be seated. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you, lovely assistant. All right. Isn't Senior Sunday a fun Sunday? I want to speak to you for just a few minutes today, a message that I've entitled Love Wins. And how many of you know that that love, as it says right here, in a world of chaos, love will carry us to victory. We're living in a time of uncertainty, aren't we? We're uncertain of who to believe, right? As you read online, uncertain, you know, and you look at social media, uncertain of what to post and what not to post, uncertain of what to like and what not to like, uncertain of who to support and who not to support, and there's a lot of uncertainty in life today. Graduates, as you move forward, and many of you declared what you believe that you're going to do in your next step. And there is maybe some certainty in what you want to do next, but there will be some uncertainty in what exactly and how that happens. You may be going to a particular college. You may be going into a particular job, but that doesn't mean that everything about it is exactly. You're going to have to learn as you go. And today, as I'm speaking about the subject of love, how many of you remember, and the idea of uncertainty, how many of you remember the old thing where if a girl was curious if a guy liked her, they would take a flower, right? And you'd pick a petal and you'd say, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. How many of you are like me? Maybe I'm a bit cynical. I thought to myself, if you want him to love you, find a flower that has odd petals. And if you don't want him to love you, you just need even petals. I don't know why can't just 7, yep, he loves me. 8, I'm out of luck. I don't know. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? But the uncertainty of it, he loves me, loves me not type of thing. Love, though, is such a powerful thing. It is such a powerful thing. We've all experienced love, at least I hope you have up to this point. We all need it, and we all desire to give it. Inside of all of us, we are created to love. We are created to love people and to love things and to love experiences. And right now, what I'd like you to do is, in your mind, think of some things or some people that you love. Are you thinking about them right now? Are you thinking about some things that you yourself love? I thought for fun today, I would bring, I got a bucket hidden back here. The youth pay attention better if I have props. So I have a bucket here today. And while you're thinking of the things you love, I thought I would share with you some of the things that I love. So I'm going to leave these here, actually. So here we go. So I love, and these are in no certain order, so don't judge me. Like, oh, so you love that more than the other. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just pulling them out, okay? Don't get judgy, people. All right. Actually, I'll pull them. So obviously, I love my family. All right. So I brought pictures of my family here. I love my family. I'm going to scoot it back just a little. And so now you can, now none of y'all are going to, y'all just all going to look at the pictures, but it's okay. I love my family. I also happen to love M&Ms. All right. So I love M&Ms. I love football. I love football. Yep. I didn't have a basketball, so use your imagination. I love basketball. I know it's a soccer ball, but I love, but that's what I had in my office. I love Disney. I love Disney World, and so I'm like a big kid there. Particularly, I chose this to signify Disney World because what I really love is those chocolate-covered ice creams that are shaped like this. So I love that. And I obviously love God's Word, and I love Jesus, and so I've got that here too. Yep. I love OU. I know some of y'all don't like that. I love OU. And this is a double meaning. I also love missions. So this is my little turtle I got from Mexico. And this is actually from Haiti. They pound these out with hand tools out of 55-gallon metal drums. And so I had them make me an OU custom. Yeah. And last but not least, I know sometimes it doesn't look like it. I like running, all right? So I brought my medal for the marathon when I ran the marathon. That was the day I thought I was going to die, but I didn't. So actually, you know, the first thing I did after I finished that marathon, I ate two hamburgers. That's a true story. That is a true story. I was so hungry. I wasn't in fear of death as much as starvation, and so I was trying to finish. But anyway, these are some things I love. Did you think of some things that you love in your mind? We all have things that we love, right? And it is that love for things that drives us to be who we are and to be the best that we can be. But what I want to talk to you for just a few moments about is this. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about love? Because when we run into issues in our lives that we need help with, there's one place to go, and that's the Scripture. If you ever wonder, what do I need to know about this subject? The first place you ought to dive into is the Scripture, and it'll give you direction. And so when we look at the subject of love, we look at the Scripture, and so this morning I want to look at four truths really quick that we can learn about love from the Bible, and we're going to use Benjamin's verse from his graduation sheet, John 3:16, because it is what I think is the central love verse in all of Scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And so the first truth that we can see from Scripture is this, is that love must be our motivation. Everybody say, love must be our motivation. That's correct. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world. So here's the deal. It doesn't tell us just what He did, but it tells us why He did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Here's what we can be assured of, that he was not motivated by pride. God wasn't sitting up there going, you know what, I'm so much better than you. I think I'll just prove it by doing this. He wasn't motivated by power, going, you know what, I'll die for your sins so that you owe me one. All right, that wasn't why he was motivated. He didn't say, for God was so greedy, all right, you know, and he wanted all the attention, or God was so angry, or whatever. He wasn't motivated by any of that. The Bible says that he was motivated by love. The power of the cross, listen to me, the power of the cross is found in the motivation behind it. What makes the cross so powerful isn't just the act, but the motivation behind it. It's that he loved us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. You look in the scripture, and one of the coolest things about Jesus is that he drew crowds to him. That people wanted to hear what he had to say. People wanted to see as he performed miracles. And I want you to understand that people were drawn by his miracles. People came. We know the story of the friends who lowered their friend down through the roof so that he may be healed. They were drawn by not only his miracles, but his wisdom and his speech. They were probably drawn even by his good looks. But they stayed. They stayed because of his love. How many times has there been men who have drawn people because of their charisma, but they couldn't keep them because of their arrogance? How many times but we need to understand is that love has staying power. Love has staying power. If you want to make a difference in your world, graduates, start by loving people. Long before they care about how much you know, and some of you know a lot, all right? Carson made a 35, by the way, on his math, on his ACT. I thought I was good at math. I'm getting tips from Carson now, all right? Long before they care how much you know, long before they get to know your personality, what they want to know is this. They want to see how much you love them. Love will draw people, not only draw them to you, but they will keep you there. If you desire to have relationship with people, and through that relationship, draw them into a relationship with the Lord, then love must be your motivation. Don't get caught up in, well, you know what, I know the Lord, and so others need to know the Lord, because I have it all together. Exactly what the baby just said. That's what I just said is what it sounds like to the Lord. La, 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 okay? We must be motivated by love. If you start with the motivation of love, you start with the right foundation. The second truth that the scripture tells us is this, is that love requires sacrifice. Can you put John 3:16 back up again? It says, for God so loved the world. Great. He said he loved us. But listen to this. That he gave his one and only son. God declaring his love for us was only the beginning. God declaring his love for us was only the beginning. It was the sacrifice that confirmed it was more than emotions. We got a lot of that in our world today, in our culture, where people say, you know what, I love you. Glenda, I love you. Oh, I love you. John, I love you. Brother Hale, I love you. David? Close. No, I'm teasing. I love you. I love you. We have a lot of people throwing around the word love, but the problem is our world believes that love is just an emotion. You feel it and you say it. But the Lord showed us in John chapter 3, God showed us that not only to show our love, it must be followed by action. Matter of fact, our world has lost the whole meaning of the love. It's driven by lust and emotion and not really by love. Lust is a self-seeking here and now. What can I get? It makes me feel good. Have you ever had somebody say, I love you, and while they're saying it, you go, I think you're telling me that because it makes you feel good. It makes them feel good. But the truth is God said, I love you so much that I want to give my one and only son. True love is in for the long haul, and true love pushes us to action. Love requires sacrifice. We know this because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, it says this. Oh, if this isn't sacrifice, I don't know what is. Love is patient. Listen, I got all the patience in the world. I've got every bit of the patience God's ever given me. I've never used any of it, so I still have all the patience in the world. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You know what love does? Love requires a lot. Love requires that we're patient. We're patient even when people don't do exactly what we want them to do. Love requires that we're kind. Not just kind. Kindness doesn't mean being nice to the people who are nice to us. Kindness means being kind. That's it. No addendum to it. Aren't we good as humans of putting like extra things onto what the Lord tells us to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. If he hits my fence again with that weed eater, all bets are off. All right. If he drives through my lawn with I'm about to start talking about my neighbor. Okay. I've been praying through, people. I've been praying through. All right. Love requires a lot. It requires patience. It requires kindness. It requires humility. It means this. You have to love people even if it's humbling. Even if you have to humble yourself in order for love to happen between you and another person. Love requires truth. It requires hope. Love drives us to never give up on people. Love requires perseverance. How many ever been loving somebody and thought, I think my love meter's about done? You know what I mean? And then you read the scripture again and it says, love never fails. Keep going. Love does not allow pride. It doesn't allow boasting. You know, it's like this. It doesn't count if you go, you know what, I love my neighbor. And it's a lot because you don't know what my neighbor does. You don't know. That doesn't allow pride, doesn't allow boasting, it doesn't allow anger. Well, matter of fact, it keeps no record of wrongs. Here's what Jesus did. It says that he loved us so much that he died for us, right? So he sacrificed for us. Why? Not so he could remind us of what we had done, that so he could erase it so it'd never be on the record again. There's no record of wrong. So God challenges us to love in a way that's sacrificial. Think of the person, the persons in your life are hardest to love, or maybe even like. I'm getting deep. Do you have their face in your mind? Do you remember why or what makes it hard to love them? You still have to love them. Which gives me the third truth, and that is this. Love has no exemptions. Love has no exemptions. Here's what it says. Put John 3:16 back up again. It says, for God so loved, all right, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, that's pretty open-ended, God, that whoever, there's no place in the scripture where we are excused or exempted from loving someone. Now, there's some places in scripture that says that to knock the dust off your feet. There's some places where it says guard thy heart. There's places where it talks about using wisdom. That's not what I'm saying today. There's a scripture where it says that the Lord even gave them over to a reprobate mind, means that they were intent on living a sinful life, and the Lord says by their free will they choose to do what they do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to make people do what you want them to do. What I'm saying is that the further they get away from Jesus, the harder you should love them, because your heart should grieve for the distance that has become between them and Jesus. So there's no exemption. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it says, love everyone except if they stab you in the back. Love them unless they stop loving you. Then you're off the hook. Love them unless they lie about you. Oh, anybody ever been lied about? Come on. Come on. I'm raising my hand. I'm thinking about a board member right now. Not here. All right? Not here. Not here. All right? Love them unless they gossip about you. God requires that we love everyone no matter the circumstances. This is how I know for sure. In Luke 10, 25 through 28, here's what the Bible says. It says a lawyer stood up and it says on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Do this, and you will live. Listen carefully, because what I'm about to say is really important. Really important. The key to eternal life rests in loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't detach those things. Jesus didn't attach those things. He put them together. There was a reason. Jesus always did things for a reason. And this doesn't mean not just your friend or your family. Jesus wants us to love everyone. Love has no exemptions. I tell you this today, Jesus didn't make us earn his forgiveness. He gave it freely. He said, listen, if you'll just ask, I'll give it to you. He didn't make us earn it. We couldn't earn it anyway. So we need to quit trying to make people earn ours. Just give love freely, with no exemptions. The fourth truth is this: love gives life. I told you, love wins. That's what I titled the message today. Love gives life. John 3:16 again says, for God so loved the world, he's motivated by love, that he gave his one and only son, that it takes sacrifice, that whoever, there's no exemptions, believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's number one goal was not to prove who was right. It was to make us right with him so that we could have life. Do you realize in conflict, and I'm not going to go too deep in this, but this is a thing that's been resonating in my heart lately as I've been reading social media and watching things that are happening around our world today. Do you realize that we really have a choice in all conflict and all resolution? We can either be right or we can be reconciled, but we seldom can ever be both. Listen to me. We can either be right or we can be reconciled. Which one do we care about more? Jesus was right. He was sinless. He had done everything right, and everything he said was the truth, and he was out without sin. But if he had stood on a mountain and just screamed that, we would all be destined to hell. Jesus had to lay aside being right so that we could be made right with him and be reconciled in relationship with him. And some of you today, maybe I'm speaking to you today, some of you may be in conflict with somebody. Some of you may be distant from somebody. It could be a friend or a family member or whatever. And I'm challenging you today, just as I've been challenging myself, reading through this message again, that we got to set aside being right. It doesn't matter. Unless it matters more to you than being reconciled. Are you with me today? John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If God's not interested in condemnation and condemning people, making people pay for what they did, neither should we be. Don, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come on. God always has been and always will be interested in giving life to mankind. And he chose love to be the way that he would do it. God's placed upon us a wonderful gift. It's his love. He demonstrated it to us on the cross. He gave it to us through salvation. And he's placed it inside of us in our hearts. He wants us to just replicate what he showed us from the very beginning. And so I conclude with these thoughts. All that really remains to be decided is, will we love people? Will we be people of love? Graduates, as you move forward, if you will get love inside of your heart and just be a person who's kind and patient, if you'll allow the fruits of the Holy Spirit to push forward, love, you'll be more successful, I promise. I'm not talking about the world's version of love, here today, gone tomorrow. I'm talking about one that will last for an eternity. Will you let love be your motivation? It's the purest way to live your walk in Christ. It's just walk with love. I know it's hard because we just want it like, but this is right. But this is principle. I've had people say before when I've talked to them about this, they said, yeah, but it's the principle of it. They didn't do right. And I said, listen, none of us did right. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You may be right in this moment, but you were wrong some other time. And if we would spend a lot less time trying to figure out who's right in every moment and love each other in every moment, we're going to be better in the long run. Will we love deep enough and hard enough that we're willing to make the sacrifices? Love is always validated by the sacrifices we make. Willing to love when people don't earn it. Willing to forgive even when it's not easy. Willing to hope even when it looks hopeless. Willing to persevere even when we're tired. Willing to be kind even when they're not kind. Love pushes us towards sacrifice because sacrifice validates our love. Will we love everyone without exception? Christ's love had no exceptions. It said, whoever, I don't know, search your heart today as I search mine, and I challenge you with this thought. May we not have one person, not one person who we'd exclude and say, no, I can love everybody, God, but not that person. When we start making exceptions to what God's asking us to do, we literally build a wall within our own lives. We build a wall in which we have to try to overcome to get where God wants us to be. There's enough of the world already trying to fight against us, trying to convince us to not do what the Lord has asked us to do. The last thing we need to do is to build walls in our own life that make it harder to do what he's asked us to do. I hope there's no one on your list that you say, you know what, I can't love that person. And lastly, will we allow God to use our love to give someone else life? Yesterday, we were handing out groceries, and they would roll down their window, several of them, and they didn't know what they were getting. We just announced it, and they pull up here, and I would say, ma'am or sir, I'd say, hey, we've got some groceries for you. Don't forget they're perishable, so, you know, make sure that you don't leave this box in your car because it'll go bad. And I said, we've got some produce and some other things and some milk. And I said, you'll just pull up right underneath the carport here. We won't even have to get out. We'll load it for you. And there was more than one person, multiple people with tears in their eyes. I said, thank you. Thank you. I had one lady who said, you know, I just lost my husband. And he was the one that made all the money. And she said, I need this food. Had another one who said, you know, I don't have much to eat for my kids. And so this is, thank you. This is the right time. I was just looking at Facebook and there was my goofy face on it. They said, I saw you. I was sorry about that. All right. We had to get the word out somehow. should have put Kelly on it. And she said, I thought, I hope they still have food. And they just, she was there and she was there. And here's the deal. The food will only last for a moment. The food will only last for a moment. But the love that was conveyed as we gave the food and the emotion that they felt and the hope that rises out of that, hopefully we're believing plants and seeds that will be watered and will grow. Ultimately, if they don't know Jesus, we hope they will soon. Amen. May our love create life inside of someone else. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you gave your only son. You didn't give out of your surplus. It's not like you had lots of it. You had one and you gave it. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you didn't put any stipulations. You said whoever would believe could receive eternal life. And so with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed today, if you're in this place, I want to offer that gift to you. You are part of the whoever. And if you need to receive eternal life today, if you would like to receive the love of Jesus Christ on your life today, today is the day of salvation. If you'd like to do that today, I just ask you, would you raise your hand today? Would you just simply say, I want to receive salvation today. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Amen. Would you just repeat after me? Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. I want to live for you. From this day forward, I accept your gift. And may your love live in my heart so that I may love others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If you're in this place, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're in this place today and you say, you know what? I just sensed as I was preaching, there's some in this room who there's some relationships that need to be restored. Maybe you're focused on being right instead of being reconciled. And today that really spoke to you. And you're like, I want to work on that. I want to put aside being right because I value being reconciled with that person more than being right. And you say, I need the Lord's help, but I'll put it aside so that I can be in relationship with that person again. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me today. That's me. I see some hands. Amen. 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 Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying and I'm believing today for these hands that are raised. Lord, that you would form relationships. You would reconcile. Lord, that in our flesh would put aside right so that our spirit can reconcile with one another and those people can be reconciled unto you. We praise you and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray right now for every person in this place. I thank you for our graduates today. I thank you, Lord, for this accomplishment that they've made. I thank you, Lord, for the steps that will be ordered of you as you move them forward. May they love people always. And may we love our community, love our family and our friends and our neighbors. And may we, through us, may people see your love and be drawn to you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.